People have been asking for this type of panel for a long time, and I'm very happy that we have such willing participants. And I know this is going to be a great panel. You know, there are many myths and misconceptions about blindness. How do we keep these myths and misconceptions from affecting our life relationships? I want to thank our couples who agreed to share some of their experiences with us. As we all move forward on our blindness journey, we can learn much from each other. So let's start with our national representative and his lovely wife, Soledad, who have been married for 43 years. Okay, go ahead.
Good afternoon. Well, as you have heard,
Judy, come up here.
We have been married for 43 years, and what we have found that has been the key to our success is understanding our own strengths as a couple and sharing a philosophy that we are equal as a couple. I remember when we were going to get married, my wife's father was concerned because she was going to marry a blind man. He came up and said, well, what happens if, as you're traveling wherever you go, you have a flat tire? Who's going to fix that? Immediately, Soli, before we had even gotten married, answered and said, he's going to do it. And he said, well, I'm not sure. I don't know. Because he didn't know of my abilities or what I could do. But as we got married, we were going on our honeymoon the second day, and we have a blowout. And so guess who got to change that tire? I had to get down, change the tire. When we returned, he said, so you changed the tire. And my wife and I said, yes. And he said, okay, I'm not worried anymore. Wow. You know, and I say this because it felt like we've had other flat tires that I haven't had to change, but it was that very first one that I had to prove. And I share that story because that tells you how Soli, my wife, my sweetheart here, did not look at me as someone who she was going to have to take care of. We were going to be able to share the load. We were going to be able to take care of the business that needed to be taken care of. And that was what she demonstrated to her family. And today, I can tell you that I feel like her family is my own family, because they don't look at me and say, oh, my poor sister, look what she's having to deal with. Blindness is not the problem. Sometimes there are other things, but not blindness. You know? So we just have to be honest with each other. That's the whole thing, you know? But I wanted to let my wife share a little bit of her thoughts, and then we can let somebody else talk.
Okay, good afternoon, fellow Federationists. My name is Soledad, you know, and we've been married 43 years. I'm sounding redundant, but fact is that it is true what my husband was saying about the flat tire. That wasn't the only concern my dad had. He was... You know, daddy, he is concerned for his daughter. And I'm sure we have a lot of daddies here who are concerned for their daughters. And as Sharon, Ms. Manicki was saying that you've been waiting quite a long time for this panel. I have something here I would like to share with you. And this 43 years that we have shared, my husband and I, we have two beautiful kids, two beautiful boys. They are men. One is 43 years and 42 years old, and the other one is 39 years old. So, and we have six beautiful grandchildren. One has passed away, and the other one is a great granddaughter. Beautiful. And of course, our youngest son, he had a baby. He had, well, his wife had the baby, and and he's going to be 2 years old, and he's just as handsome and as his grandfather here next to my left. Yes, so it's like a little Adelmo, you know, we call him. Anyway, so I'd like to share something with you that I believe greatly during all these 43 years. And if you will allow me to share it with you, it is found on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 7 and 13. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity meaning love. So you see how beautiful it sounds? Yes. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. And endures all things. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of this is love. See, that's beautiful. I think that is so beautiful.
Wow. And very good.
And so that is precisely what I felt when I was walking down the aisle and I saw my sweetheart up there on the altar. He looked so handsome. Like a prince. And so I said, okay, Lord, you're going to take care of us. And for these 43 years, he has taken care of us. And I wanted to share that with you. That we went to the convention in Anaheim. And my brother invited us to his house. And he had a 2.5-year-old little girl. Well, when my husband came up onto the van, she says, "The prince! The prince from Snow White!" And I saw Adamo and I said, "Wow, yeah, he does look like a prince, you know, from these movies." But anyway, I thank you very much for allowing me and for allowing me to share this with you. I have,
thank
we have
you.
So many stories, but here is a demo.
So Eric and Crystal Guillory are not only a couple, but also work together in the blindness field. They have been married for 15 years, so let's hear from the Guillorys.
Good afternoon, everybody. So we were talking last night about what we wanted to share, and a couple of the topics are family and public perceptions. But one of the most heartwarming family stories, you could hear the love that Adelmo and Soledad have for their children. And this happened independently of each other, these two episodes with our two children, Austin, who's now 13, which is just hard to believe, and Bree just turned 10. But both of them ask me this same question. They're three. No, they are in Louisiana with grandma and playing soccer and selling pancakes and, you know, and being spoiled by their grandmother. And then we got to go. So it's pretty cool. But they asked me this question, the same question, different circumstances, but about 3 years apart. I remember Austin's most clearly because it was the the first time anybody had ever asked me this, obviously. I was putting dishes in the dishwasher, trying to be domestic and all that good stuff. And he says, "Daddy, when am I going to be blind like you?" Our kids happened to be sighted. And he said, "Dad, when am I going to be blind like you?" And I thought, wow. And he said, and I said, well, he was about 4 years old or so. And I said, "Austin, you're not going to be blind like me. You know, at least not that we know of." And he started crying, "But I want to be blind like you, Daddy. I want to be blind like you." And so it was so surreal. And I was having a kind of a Twilight Zone, a bizarro world conversation, because I was saying, "It's okay. It's respectable to be sighted, Austin." And, you know, and that was so awesome. And yeah, that's right. Sight will not hold you back, even when it's dark outside. And you know, Bree asked the same question a few years later. And what that said to me, she was around the same age. It happened about 3 years apart, which is so awesome and interesting. And the thing about it is that it shows that the connectivity that we have in the National Federation of the Blind and the folks we work with and our mentors and role models and students, because to our kids, blindness is just not a big deal. It's just one of our characteristics. I like what somebody said years ago. A group of teenagers were asked, you know, do your blind parents ever embarrass you? And they said, "Yeah, but it's not because they're blind. It's because they're mom and dad." I mean, that's and Crystal's going to talk a little bit about some of the perspective that we had early on with our family and with the public.
Good afternoon. The other thing we discussed is, of course, the way we interact with our family and the community. Of course, it took my family by surprise. Not everyone. My dad actually seemed to be the most open and understanding. It did not faze him at all. I think he could see Eric and the man that he was and was fine with that. My sister-in-law, on the other hand, I hope this has not gone live because I don't want to make her mad. Sorry. She's not listening anyway. but, I mean, there were a number of incidences with her, but I distinctly remember one time when she just said, "I mean, Crystal, do you ever get a break?" And I was like, "What do you mean? I have two small kids, you know, like, what are you talking about?" And she said, "Well, that's just it. You have two kids and you have to take care of Eric. And I mean, obviously get no help." And I was like, "Whoa, wait, hold on, what?" And it was funny in thinking about that. Of course, we set her straight. But I remember complaining one time to a colleague, like, not complaining, but being like, "Well, you know, everything when they were babies had to be very, very precise. Like the onesies were in certain columns in the first drawer and what have you." And she said, "Crystal, that's not a blindness thing. That's a man thing. You got to be like very specific with all men, blind or sighted." And I think the men are cutting up here. I just think that brings apart, you know, makes that apparent that it's not a lot of things that we think is like a blindness thing. It's not at all. It's a normal, normal part of life. And a lot of times blindness is not the issue at all, truly. The only other, one of the other big things we talked about is obviously in the community and your perceptions. Eric and I will go places and, you know, he had no clue, but I had to, you know, kind of let him know, you know, I get some looks and judgment and...
"Why are you married to such an ugly dude?" That's what they want to know.
Oh, my goodness. So one story we talked about in particular, we had gone into a local hardware store, like Lowe's or something, and we needed a new outside garbage can, which is huge, you know. And we were going up to the cash register, and basically it was a little, I remember it distinctly, it was a little old lady, and she just looked at me and like, I mean, y'all, if her eyes were lasers, I would have been dead. Just saying. You know, basically giving off that look of, "Ugh, how dare you make him haul that garbage can?" Like, sorry, last time I looked, he was the guy. He can pull the garbage can for me. Thank you. Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you. All right. Now, let's hear from the newlyweds in the group, Melissa Sheeter and Aaron Carpenter, and they have been together for 6 years. Okay.
That's 8 years.
Oh, all right, 8 years. Thank you.
Right here.
So I think my family was really excited that I married a sighted person, because they were like, oh, it'll be someone that can take care of her and help her. And it can be a frustrating debate, argument with them, because I'm like, I can do it myself. I can, you know, he doesn't need to take off work to take me to the doctors or take our daughter to the doctors. I can do it fully by myself. And sometimes the expectation is that he should do it because he's my husband and that, you know, he should do for me. But I don't feel like there's a reason he should have to do that.
Yeah, it is a really difficult situation there, because it seems with the side of the blind parent or whatever the case, they see, okay, you marry a sighted person, that's okay, that's going to be a caregiver or something like that. And that's a lot of the looks we get out in public. Oh, you're her caregiver. Oh, you're her nurse. Like, even like when you go up to a restaurant, like let's use Dunkin' Donuts for example here. We go up to Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm like, okay, you know, I don't like Dunkin' Donuts, but she does. So she's like, okay, I want a coffee. And then the ladies at the counter is looking like, what are you getting for her? And I'm like, I don't know what she wants, but she's right there. Like, we get a lot of those situations where we're ordering at a restaurant and they're like, yeah, what are you gonna get for her? Let me see. I'm not a mind reader. But, and so we get a lot of those looks, and then, you know, they see, hey, I'm supposed to take care of her. And then on the other side, the sighted side, my family, they're like, oh my God, why did you decide to marry someone who's blind? And they like, you know, you're going to have to, like, take care of her, do everything for her. Because my family is not too keen to the whole what blind people can do. They just, with the stereotypes, like, oh, she's not going to be able to cook. She's not going to be able to do this. In fact, we had one, the first time that my mom and my sister was over and we were cooking something. And she was like, wait, you're going to let her cook the pork chop? You gonna let her cook the pork chop in the grease? How's she gonna do that? I said, watch her. Just sit back and watch her. And I said, and it's those small things like that that it takes some getting used to. You know, after a couple of years of, okay, we know she can do this now. But the first outside look is, nah, I don't know. I don't think that's gonna work out. Like, even, like it was a weird situation. We were cleaning up, and, you know, for me, when we say clean, and her definition of clean, a little bit different. So she was proceeding to sweep the floor, and my sister's like, well, how is she going to sweep the floor? How is she going to know what she's sweeping? I said, she knows. And then it's even like those funny things that happen in a household, like those household chores. Now, let's for a Siva example, like doing laundry or something like that. Now, for me, I don't even think this is a sight thing. I think this is more of a me thing. I'll wash them clothes, and then they go into the laundry basket. And you know, I can live out that laundry basket.
He surely is.
No. Now, my wife, on the other hand, she folds everything. So she's like, no, we're not living out of laundry. We're going to fold this. And it'll be the surprising thing is, you think about you go on those road trips and everything. Actually, yeah, I don't pack anything. She packs everything. And that freaks out people a lot. They're like, how is she going to pack a box? I said, like everybody else, she's going to put the stuff in the box and then she's going to put the tape on the box. But it's a lot of those stereotypes that's out there. And I think it just gets old very fast. Like, you know, we get, like the other couple were saying, like when we out, there's a lot of dirty looks. Like if I let her carry a grocery bag with, the grocery bag had two loaves of bread in it. And I'm gonna tell you what this old guy said to me. He said, "Sonny, if you a man, why are you letting her carry that bag?" Now, granted, I'm walked to the car. I got 8 bags in my hand right now. I'm like,
and I don't like my bread smashed.
And I tell you one thing.
Okay, we gotta sum it up.
Okay, and all in all, there are a lot of those stereotypes and everything that goes on, but all in all, you know, they are the same as us. It's no difference between sighted people and blind people. It shouldn't defy you as a characteristic.
All right, good, thank you. Okay. It is a pleasure to watch Ellen and Ken Ringline work together in our organization. Here are the Ringlines, who have been married for 19 years.
Good afternoon.
Well, we were doing some talking last night in preparation for this panel, and I think one of the things that emerged is that the reason that our relationships work is that we see each other as equal partners, and our sighted partners see us and themselves as equal partners as well. I think oftentimes the stereotype does exist that, you know, the sighted partner is the caregiver of the blind partner, and certainly that's not the case in all the relationships that you're witnessing up here. And, you know, I want to pull my full share. So actually one of the arguments I frequently have with Ken is when we're coming home from the grocery store, you need to give me some of those bags to carry upstairs. You're not carrying all of them just because you're the guy. I've got a perfectly free hand here that can carry some bags. So, you know, with family, we haven't had, you know, too many interactions. Both of us were adults and had been living on our own when we got married, so, and family's far away, so they haven't really had that much of an impact on our relationship. I think more the attitudes from other people sometimes have. But one of the things that I, a few years ago, Ken had a kind of a scare in terms of possibly losing his vision from a retinal detachment. And when we were, you know, sitting in the hospital waiting room, waiting for the diagnosis, I told him, you know, I married you not because you can see or because you can drive, because you're you. And you're the same person if you can see and if you're not going to see. And if you don't, then we just change how we do some things around here, but we still will make our life work.
Thank you, Ellen. One thing I want to do is a shout out to all of you, because I was lucky. I knew people who were members, like your own Aloma Bama, before I met Ellen, you know, professional, skilled, independent blind people. And now Ellen is smart and cute and socially active, but what really sold me on is I knew she could live independently. She didn't, as she said, she didn't need me to take care of her. And so I had no, you know, problems at all starting to date her.
So I think through partnership and negotiation, we play to each other's strengths, and you know, we divide up the work of the marriage and the relationship, and you know, both of us take care of what needs to be taken care of and talk through, you know, if there needs to be no negotiations about who does what. So that's, I think those kind of things make a successful marriage.
And I have to be careful. I like to hold her hand sometimes when we're walking, but then people will assume that I'm leading her around. That's so she tells me when it's not appropriate to hold hands. And the best part of the story, though, is that nowadays they see me with her and I'm wearing my NFB ball cap or something. And people assume I'm the blind one now. Anything else?
No.
Okay, thank you all.
Okay. Now, wasn't that a great panel? Let's give them all a round of applause. All right.